Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ducks.
Mitchell goes in motion. They hand it off.
Straight ahead for a touchdown.
Huskies.
C.J. Verdell wins the game for Oregon.
Isaac and Soup.
Honestly, I just think it makes you feel good as a fan.
And I think it's fun.
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Soup.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus.
Rivalry Week with Isaac and Soup on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Sweet redemption.
The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, at this point, I think everyone's either on their way home or, you know, it's like nothing productive.
Drunk.
Yeah, that's true. Nothing productive's happening at this point, right?
I mean, I wouldn't think so.
There's no one else in the building besides us. Traffic was terrible today at like noon as everyone was going home.
It was so funny. Cooley, Sam, and Kurt all kind of walked in maybe 20 minutes before you guys got here. And they're just like, the guy's coming in today. You know, Schultz, you chained the door closed. You could do the show yourself. It's like, maybe. That's
anytime
true.
You see sales manager, maybe, yeah. Soon to be GM, Ryan Cooley.
It's possible.
Plus sales bro Kurt, plus digital sales bro Sam. Yeah. Anytime you see them in the same place walking into the building,
yeah, it's
one thing and one thing only has just occurred. Yeah. They have just had a 5-martini lunch.
Yes.
Every time.
Yes.
100%. And they come back and there's a waft of booze over them. They pretend to work for maybe 30 minutes. They sit out here, maybe have another beer, and then they go home.
And then off they go.
It's funny. That's okay because it's the day before Thanksgiving.
Although I will tell you, Schultz, that had you locked the doors, look, you wouldn't have got a big fight. Like, you could, that would have been like, oh no, Schultz, let us in. Oh no. And then.
Yeah. Got one text and then turn around and
guess I better go home.
Yeah. Look, it's.
Oh, shucks.
Like, taking over this show and this building, it wouldn't exactly be storming the beaches of Normandy. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, it happened for one day, and then I'd get canned. But the unicorn idea of it would be, you know, would be fun if that could happen.
Well, yeah. It's like, you know, it's like when you decide to run onto the field. In that brief moment, it's glorious, right? Until you get tased, and, you know, then you're banned forever. But for that one glorious moment, you've got 19th hold written on your ass, and, you know, you're the star of the event.
All right, well, we've got Joey Harrington, 5:30. We'll get into Oregon, Washington, and the club tonight will be awesome. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving,
yes,
which is tomorrow.
I believe, by the way, that I was grifted into paying for a Meals on Wheels.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think an old lady. I think I got shook down by an old lady, and I'm not certain. I think it's a scam that was being run. Now, luckily, I can swing the, I think it was like $11 for the Meals on Wheels, but I do think that this lady is, I think this was a setup. I think it was an entrapment, and they got me.
How much?
Like I said, it was like $11, I think, for like a Meals on Wheels thing.
All right. Well, we'll get to that. We'll talk Turkey Day, Club 1080, but right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh,
shame.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Gangster.
Oh, yeah. Hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com. Number five.
Well, the first half is winding down, about a minute left, and the Blazers and Pacers are tied in Indiana, 57-57. Scoot Henderson just airballed a three and then looked at the refs and threw his hands up like Arvydas Sabonis.
Hey, the Blazers have had a lead for pretty much this entire half up until right now.
Yeah, they look all right. They're into it.
Look, anytime,
Aiden's back.
Anytime Scoot shoots a three, there's always a little like, ooh.
And now they're down three.
Yeah.
So they'll probably lose by 27.
What's the spread on this? It's pretty good.
It was 10.5.
10.5. So.
Isn't it 10.5 like every time they play?
It was 12.5 and 13.5 the two games before. So
really?
Darn close.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm trying to see what the live betting line is right now on them, but it's not coming up. So
later on ESPN, Warriors host Oklahoma City. No Steph Curry. He is going to sit. He has knee soreness.
The dreaded knee soreness.
And it is dreaded, especially when you get to his age.
We did hear, too, that, of all the injuries, Klingon's out for a while. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, but he's got a grade 2 MCL tear. He's going to miss 20 games. He's going to be out a while. They are not rushing that guy back. So that's a bummer because he'd been a nice little bright spot for him.
Former Giants quarterback Daniel Jones lands with the Vikings. They're going to pay him $375,000 for the rest of the season. He's going to start on the practice squad, which means if another starting quarterback goes down elsewhere, he could sign with another team.
My guess is that if he hangs around for a couple weeks, they'll elevate him and move Mullins down. I mean, Daniel Jones is better than Nick Mullins, and this is a great spot for him, right? You get to one of the really bright minds on the opposite side of the ball who's done a great job resurrecting quarterback careers. This is a perfect landing spot for Daniel Jones.
As for the Giants, it's looking like Drew Locke will be their QB1 tomorrow on Thanksgiving. How lucky you are.
Does it really matter?
You get to watch Drew Locke again.
I'm not certain whether I'd want to watch Tommy Cutlets or Drew Locke. I mean, the answer to that is neither, but, you know.
Well,
you got Cooper Rush on the other side.
They instantly have the best quarterback in the game, don't they?
Yes. If Drew Locke is playing instantly, that is the best. Think about that. That's the best quarterback available on either roster.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even playing.
Tommy DeVito has a forearm injury, so he's likely not to play. Raiders visit the Chiefs on Black Friday. Kansas City expected to have running back Isaiah Pacheco and defensive end Charles Omenihue back. That one kicks at noon on Friday, so it's early start. That's a little early.
It's a little early.
It's a little early.
Yeah. Plus, it's the Raiders, and they're going with, because Minshew broke his collarbone, so they're going with O'Connell, who's dealing with a hand issue, who may or may not be able to grab a ball. We're still going to watch because it's the NFL, but my God, Chiefs, Raiders, ugh.
If I had, we also have the Thanksgiving day games.
That I like.
9:30 in the morning, we've got Bears, Lions, Cowboys, Giants, 1:30. And then Dolphins in Green Bay at 5:30.
I like the way this sets up. I'm going to start drinking early with Bears-Lions. I'm going to fall asleep and nap during the Giants-Cowboys, and then wake up and eat again and start drinking again. Dolphins pack. This lines up perfectly for me. I'm good to go.
Number two.
Two of those games I don't know that I'm going to watch too much of. Giants-Cowboys and Raiders-Chiefs. Unless they're close.
Yeah.
They'll keep an eye.
Well, the Raiders, I mean, they did beat Kansas City last year, I think on Christmas, but they're not doing it this year.
Guys, it is an embarrassment of riches for those stupid Dodgers.
Yeah, this is...
Two-time Cy Young winner Blake Snell has signed with the Dodgers for 5 years, $182 million.
And a bunch of it deferred. Like
He will join a rotation that already includes three other aces. You have Shohei Ohtani, Yoshi Yamamoto and Tyler Glasnow. And let's also not forget that the Dodgers are the favorite to sign that Japanese superstar pitcher, Roki Sasaki.
Yeah.
Because they already have Yamamoto and Ohtani. That can't happen until after January 15th. Can you think of another time when a pitcher as good as Jack Flaherty was an odd man out in a rotation?
No. No. And just, does anyone doubt that Juan Soto is going to end up in L.A. somehow? I mean, what? Do they eventually run out of money, or is it just literally an unlimited pipeline?
Well, Juan Soto already paid for himself. Even if they paid him $60 million this year, they made that so much more back in marketing and sales and stuff. I'm assuming they're just thinking the same things can happen with Juan.
Okay, that was a little out of context, but we were talking about the Dodgers.
Dodgers.
And I can tell you this. I have to root against them now.
Officially?
Well, because we had to root for them against the Yankees, because it's the Yankees. But I can't.
It's tough. It's getting harder.
It's absurd.
It's getting harder. Ohtani's goodwill may be running out with the Blake Snell signing.
And number one, we have a college basketball bonanza today, led by your Oregon Ducks taking out San Diego State.
The undefeated men of increase, Oregon Ducks.
Beat them by 10. So now they're going to play they're going to go back home, take a couple days off, and then on Saturday, they're going to play the winner of tonight's game between Alabama and Rutgers, which is in Vegas. And Alabama is number 9 in the country. Rutgers has a couple of the top freshmen. So it should be a good game.
Do we know where that game will be? Have we figured that out?
I actually don't know where that game
should be. Chelsea, you're a sports nerd. Do you have an idea of where that game is going to be held? Do they go back to Vegas after going home?
I don't think so.
I'm trying to find it, but I don't think so.
Number 3, Gonzaga lost in overtime today. First loss of the season. Yeah. They lost to West Virginia, unranked West Virginia, 86-78. Yeah. Auburn is number 4. They won the Maui Invitational, beating Memphis 90-76. Colorado's luck ran out as they fall to number 5, Iowa State, 99-71. We also had 14th-ranked Indiana getting bludgeoned by Louisville, 89-61 in the battle for Atlantis. Currently, Creighton and Texas A&M are on the court. They're tied 47-all in the second. And is anything else I need to tell you about? Oh, Michigan State, North Carolina later.
And Arizona and Davidson, if you care about that. 24th-ranked Arizona is going on right now. That's like 10-5 Davidson. Oh. Does that do anything for you?
No.
They were ranked, and it was a former Pac-12 team.
Mm-hmm. Victor Rico's Mexican food. Score big this Black Friday at Victor Rico's. Buy a $30 gift card. Get a free $12 burrito Friday, November 29th only. Fun college football playoff talk, and then we'll get Joey Harrington in here to talk Oregon-Washington next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nice to have you along. If you're out there, I don't know if you are.
Yeah. I
mean, but we're here.
Yeah, we're here. We're grinding.
Yep.
Well, kind of. I mean,
not really.
We're here. I don't know.
Talk sports, man.
Sports.
That ain't no grind.
No. Schulte would do this for free, and he probably is in there.
Close.
He's doing this for a sack of McDonald's and some hair gel.
Questioning my life choices.
Maybe a nice Mariner quarter zip. Although, like, what do we...
This is the universal. Every sport has this. It's the Mariner quarter zip, but football does the same style. So.
No one loves himself a quarter zip quite like Jordan Schulte.
Peyton Manning. That would be the only.
He does. Yeah,
was that commercial? That's a quarter zip. No, don't give me the half zip. I want a quarter zip.
Well, we got Joey Harrington coming in here next. We'll get some Oregon-Washington talk going. We haven't talked much about it this week, although it is only Wednesday, but we're off the next 2 days. So
it's lost some juice, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was talking to, I was texting back and forth with Masters Pete the other day, and he was talking about, oh, man, this game is this is huge for Lanning, biggest game in Lanning. And I'm just like,
Well, I mean, look, if you lose the game.
Well, even if they lose, they're going to the Big Ten title game. Like this, I get it. People want revenge on Washington, but the reality is the eye is not on that prize right now. No. The eye is on
there's bigger fish to fry, and Washington is not a bad team, but Washington is not a good team at this point, and it feels like
a foregone conclusion.
It does.
They're gonna win.
Yes. It's at home, and they don't lose at home very often. Yeah. I know that they're 0-3 against these guys under Lanning.
They're going to waltz into the Big Ten title game and play Ohio State again.
But you've got a 6-5 team with a quarterback issue on the road in one of the hostile environments to play in the country against a Washington or against an Oregon team that again is pretty focused in right now. I mean, I guess if you're UW and you want to try to use the Wisconsin game as maybe Oregon's vulnerable right now, I guess you could do that. And Washington is, I mean, it's a capable team. I mean, they're 6-5. They should have beat Washington State. They should have beat Rutgers. That's about it. I mean, so if you did that, it's an 8-win team, and maybe 8-3 feels a little different. But like USC has Notre Dame this week, and that is intriguing. I heard this one today. So Notre Dame, the two interesting like teams that the record doesn't indicate how good they are. One of them is Kansas, right? We talked about this. If you ended every game that Kansas has played this year at the 2-minute mark, Kansas is a 9-win team, right? And there are six teams in the country that have led every game in the fourth quarter.
Is USC one of them?
USC is one of them.
Wow.
USC has 5 losses. Would you care to guess how? So there's 5 other teams that have done it. Would you care to guess how many total losses those 5 teams have?
Wait. So you said there's 6 teams.
6 teams.
That have led. Wait, what was it?
They have led every game in the fourth quarter this year. USC has had a lead in every fourth quarter that they've played.
But I'm sure there's more than 6 teams that have had a lead in the fourth quarter.
In every game, only 6 teams have had the lead in every fourth quarter game that they've played.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Oregon's one of them.
Yeah.
And so what was the question?
So
I'm confused.
How many? So USC has 5 losses. If you take the other 5 teams that have done that, how many total losses?
I see. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So Oregon would have none. Maybe Penn State has 1 or something. I don't know. Maybe like 3.
5.
Yeah. So they have half of the losses of those 6 teams.
So that's one of those. When you look at USC, if you're Notre Dame and you need to beat USC. If Notre Dame loses, they're going to bump Clemson or one of those SEC teams above them. Notre Dame needs this game. Oregon doesn't necessarily need this game for really anything other than, I don't know, pride. But when you look at USC, Notre Dame, USC can say, hey, we're better than our record. Washington isn't. Like, sometimes record doesn't tell the whole story. It's what I brought up Kansas and I brought up USC. They're better than their record. Washington is about what their record says they are. Again, you could make a case that one of those games, Rutgers or Washington State, that statistically Washington was better and they let those get away. But this is just not a great team. They don't do anything particularly well. And I just don't see a path forward where they beat Oregon at home. Doesn't mean that it can't. It's a rivalry game. Funky things happen. But this is like when BYU played Kansas, when Notre Dame was playing USC, those games would scare me. I think like Tennessee-Vanderbilt this week, again, speaking of a game that Tennessee has to have, that game scares me. This one with Washington, it doesn't scare me. There's just nothing about Washington that I find particularly excellent. It's there's nothing that's horrible, but it's just it's a C-plus team.
So more on that.
And Oregon's not.
More on that with Joey next. This was on the text line yesterday. We didn't get it in, but I wanted to put it out there that you realize there's a chance that all 4 of the Power 4 champions are new members to their leagues.
Oh, well, the Big 12, right? Obviously, the Arizona State, Big 10, ACC, SMU, and then Texas, right? Yep,
that's right.
I'll be damned.
So if Oregon, SMU, Arizona State, and Texas win those leagues.
No.
Every one of those is in their first year as a member of that league.
What a strange little world we're living in. And we talked about how, you know, the teams were going to struggle. Like, even Texas, like, there was an idea that Texas was like, well, you're in the SEC now. Well, Texas is one loss. And
well, Oklahoma's struggling.
Yeah, Oklahoma is struggling.
So I think it's just, it's a lot about timing. Yeah. Like, Texas had it cooking no matter what.
Sure.
So.
Well, and I think some of those leagues are down. Certainly there's
and
not.
And Oregon is the same.
Yeah. There's not a dominant league. There's not a dominant team in the Big 12. Not a dominant team in the ACC. And I don't think anyone would argue that this version of Georgia, this version of Bama, this version of Tennessee, this version of Florida, it certainly is not a none of those teams would say that this is anywhere near their best over the last 5 to 10 years. So, yeah, you probably picked a pretty good time to come in. And if you're Oklahoma, you're probably sitting there being like, oh, my God, if this is the bad version of the SEC, what the hell happens when they start cooking?
Well, if you're looking for the biggest games this weekend in terms of playoff implications, you'd have to look at Texas, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
First, that's the winner of that goes to the SEC title game against Georgia.
Yeah,
the game's in College Station,
and Texas is probably fine regardless. If Texas loses, they're still in. If Texas A&M loses, obviously they're out. They're done. So, certainly a much bigger game for A&M than it is for Texas.
And then the other one is Clemson, South Carolina. Believe it or not,
yeah,
because they're playing and rivalry game, and the winner of that has a shot to back into the tournament.
Yep. Well, and Clemson has a chance to back into the ACC championship game, let alone back into the into the tournament. But yeah, if you're Clemson or you're sitting there looking at Notre Dame or looking at Tennessee, those aren't layups. Tennessee at USC and Tennessee at Vandy and Notre Dame USC. Remember, Notre Dame too, on the road last week in New York. Now I have to go on the road to LA, right? It's long trips. Against a USC team that is not bad. They made a quarterback change, playing better. And if either one of those loses, Clemson or South Carolina or Alabama, someone like that, they can jump right up and grab that. I think if Notre Dame loses, I think they are out. And if Tennessee loses, they are for sure out. There are three losses and they're done. And then also keep in mind that the Big 12 still has to be settled. Arizona State,
yeah.
Kansas State, Iowa State. And BYU,
I think Kansas State's out. I think Iowa State has to win that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kansas State, even if they win, I don't think they can get in.
They can, but it's this
convoluted
tiebreaker. But Iowa State can.
Yeah, they need to win that game.
They need to win that game, yeah. And then BYU, Houston. So the Big 12 actually has a bunch of games that do matter. So it's a sneaky little slate.
I will mention this because nobody else is, because it's much like the Oregon-Washington game, feels like a foregone conclusion. Mm. No one is talking about the idea of Michigan beating Ohio State.
No.
And I get why. But worth mentioning that if Ohio State should lose that game, mm-hmm. now we're down to the Penn State-Indiana tiebreaker scenario.
Yeah.
For who plays Oregon in the Big Ten title game.
And do we know how all that shakes out? I thought Penn State had it, but I...
No, it was... I think it... well, now they would know because they're both... No, because Indiana's... Steph's plays Purdue and Penn State. Are they playing this week?
Yes.
They got to be. Who
Penn State has...
It's, Maryland.
Yeah.
So they're both playing cupcakes.
Yeah.
But I think that would matter.
Yeah.
Based on the tiebreakers, but
I think if both win, I do believe that it's Penn State that would get the nod.
Really?
Over Indiana. I think I read that. Don't quote me on that, but
so Indiana's out of the Big Ten title chase?
No,
unless
Penn State loses.
Maryland beats Penn State.
But I believe if Penn State and Indiana win and Ohio State loses, I do believe that it's Penn State that ends up going. But again, not 100% certain on that. And the other one, too, is remember, we brought this up. Dude, Syracuse is 8-3.
Yeah.
Syracuse is not a bad team.
They got a little offense.
They got a little offense. And their losses, 2 points to Stanford. They got blown out by Pitt, and then they had a close loss to Boston College, and they host Miami.
Yep.
If Miami has to win. If Miami loses, here comes Clemson into the ACC title game.
Do you trust Mario Cristobal?
No, I don't at all. I have zero faith in the Miami Hurricanes defense. I have zero faith in Mario Cristobal, so... Like I said, there's some sneaky good games.
You know,
it's funny
one,
that the one that no one's giving any credit to is, like you said, Michigan and Ohio State.
The other one, too, that is worth mentioning is Auburn-Alabama.
Yeah.
The Iron Bowl. Alabama's sitting there 13.
Yeah, still sniffing around.
They're waiting for some team above them to stumble, and if they do, maybe they can still get in that tournament. Watch Alabama get in the tournament and win it.
They would probably need two teams to stumble, but yeah, wouldn't it be something if the teams above them lost? Let's say Tennessee loses and like Miami loses, Notre Dame, and then Alabama screws it up and loses to Auburn. And
then who's in?
I think DeBoer may get murdered. I think someone may pipe bomb Kalen DeBoer.
Well, we wouldn't want that.
No, we wouldn't. But they're not happy down there in Alabama. Who would get in then? Then you're probably talking Ole Miss.
Kansas still have a shot?
I don't think so.
Damn.
I don't think so.
All right, let's get Joey in here. We'll talk a little Oregon, Washington. Weekly visit with our friend, former Ducks quarterback. Also played for the Lions on Thanksgiving Day.
My Lions.
So, Joey next. But first, Schulte with SportsCenter.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Well, it's not story time. It's Football Friday.
Maybe a mixture.
But whatever.
It's not Friday.
No, it's not.
Right. It's not.
How can it be Football Friday if it's not Friday?
That's true, too. So what are we even doing?
I don't know. It's a weekend Wednesday sort of feel, this whole thing. It's
Joey Harrington, everybody.
I'll tell you what we're doing. Here's what we're doing. Because I got a text last night saying that we might not talk on Friday.
Yeah.
Because of like some national conspiracy and, you know, all that stuff. And I said, I can't do that.
No.
Like, you have become a part of my not just my week, but my soul. Yeah. My green couch.
The fabric of the community.
Amazing.
No. The fabric of the couch. Well, at least one of you is part of the fabric of the couch. The other one just like, screw it. I'm going to go sit up in Bellevue. Actually, by the way, we never really did talk about it. Did that whole thing get resolved?
It actually did, believe it or not. My hatred of Audi of Bellevue led that, like, Joey jokingly said, you should go see the BMW of Portland people because my Vancouver Ford, my guy, Monty, I haven't bought a car from anyone else in 20 years. He sold. So I don't have a car guy anymore. And Joey was like, you should actually go see the BMW of Portland people. And I was like, hey, if you were serious, give me a heads up. And Joey threw me the contact over there.
Laurel.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's give a little context here. Laurel Kessler is probably, okay, if we go Steve Prefontaine. Well, yeah, Steve Prefontaine may not be the best athlete because that Ashton Eaton is probably the best Oregon track athlete of all time. You know, if you hold the world record in the decathlon, like you're technically the greatest athlete in the history of the world. So then, like in terms of athletically, then maybe Steve Prefontaine. But and then third after that would be Laurel Kessler, who is over there. Yeah.
And when I told her that she was about to encounter the fifth best 2001 center in college football, she was very impressed. And so I ended up going down there literally the next day after we had that conversation. And lo and behold, that was the first car that I've gotten a non-Ford from my guy in 20 years. And they were phenomenal. I do owe Joey Harrington a gratitude.
What if Laurel Kessler suddenly becomes the new manager at Audi of Bellevue?
Well, then I hate to say it, but then the meteor will still have to hit it. Maybe she can be spared, but sometimes the world works out the way it's supposed to work out. So once again, Audi of Bellevue, kiss my ass. You can all go to hell. But it led me to the BMW of Portland people. It actually led me to Joey Harrington, to the BMW of Portland people, to Laurel, and could not have been nicer people.
Okay.
Well, there you go. I'm really happy to hear that. I'm happy that your non-green couch experience turned into a good auto experience.
And that is true. The reason I wasn't able to go on the green couch was I was at Audi of Bellevue with that whole mess. And that's how I was not able to attend the green couch. But now me and Joey, we share a different bond. We share a love, a special kind of automotive love that goes beyond green couches.
Okay. I have a Lions question.
Get ready to go.
Well, I was reading about the fact that Dan Campbell is 0-3 on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And then I read further in the story, and it said that the Lions are 5-17 in their last 22 on Thanksgiving. I thought, wow. Well, that's not really that shocking because the Lions used to suck.
Yeah.
But Campbell has them cooking, and he still doesn't win on Thanksgiving. So my question to you is, playing in Detroit and playing on Thanksgiving. Is there something to that being a tough game to win, maybe because of all the hullabaloo families and stuff in Detroit around Thanksgiving, or is that just a happenstance that Detroit has not had a good record on Thanksgiving?
I thought you were going to ask, what did it take to earn 20% of the Lions' victories on Thanksgiving in the last 22 years?
Yeah.
So you got one. You've told us that story before.
Yeah. One of them, yeah. Just, yeah. No. Oh, wait, I mean, no, I had one with the Dolphins. I mean, there's no story about the one for with the Packers. We just beat them. I didn't do anything to deserve it. But
at least you're honest.
Yeah. So what's the,
what's up with that? Is it hard? I mean, it's like, is that, in other words, I'm looking for a betting angle tomorrow. It's Thanksgiving. I just want to bet on the game. It's the Lions and Bears. I don't really care, but maybe Joey says, hey, you know what? Always fade the Lions on Thanksgiving. I was there. I know it's a tough game to win for them for a lot of different reasons. Then I'm betting the Bears. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah. I don't think that's because it's just as tough for the Bears that are coming into town. Like it's a short week. It's an incredibly short week, and it's a weird week because of the holiday.
All right.
Man,
no betting.
I don't know. I don't think there's any real betting. If I was making a bet, I would bet on the Lions.
Well, and it's
simply because last year, I mean, think about this. Year one with Dan Campbell, Lions sucked. Right? They started like 1-73.
Yes,
like, you know, year two, they were a little bit. It wasn't until the end of last year. It wasn't until like December that they were really rolling, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like the Lions team that we're seeing now is the Lions team that is anywhere near the Lions teams that have played on Thanksgiving the three previous years with Dan Campbell. So there's your betting angle. Take the Lions.
Well, they were 8-2 last year, and they lost to Green Bay on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Although Green Bay was a good team, and Green Bay was an ascending team too. I mean, Green Bay started cooking.
The problem was they didn't cook a Thanksgiving meal while they were playing the game. That is the that is what guarantees the victory against Green Bay on Thanksgiving. That was. I do remember. That's right. I did tell you the story of having a turkey in the oven while I was playing. Yeah. Got it.
Is it one of those things now too with I mean, everyone at this point is played on a Thursday. Is it any with the holidays, is it any different than a normal Thursday game? Because that always favors the home team, especially this late in the season.
You know what? Maybe okay, I'm trying to think, like, I'm honestly trying to think of like what was going on.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Maybe if you are playing at home on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Then you have family in town.
Right.
Then you have the holiday coming up. That like you have, if you are on the road, what do you got? You got know, you got the same hotel food
well,
that you're going to get.
This is what I was asking you.
There may be something there. Maybe on this Thursday, maybe the holiday Thursday, maybe it is a little, for the first time, maybe it takes away some of the advantage of playing at home.
A lot of distractions.
Okay, great. So go look at what's the Cowboys' record then? Because if you're, this is too circumstantial. Or this is too. I need more data points.
Yeah.
Right. I need a larger sample size. That's the word I was looking for. Because if this is going to be your hypothesis, then it has to be true across whether it's Detroit or Dallas or any home team on the NFL Network game.
Dallas,
right? Because that's.
I have the record here. They are 33-22-1 all time in their Thanksgiving Day games.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Your hypothesis sucks.
Yeah.
So it's just not an angle. Detroit was bad.
Yeah.
And so you bet the Lions.
I just think anytime you're talking about this short week, there's going to be a massive advantage for the home team. It just is. It's Thursday football should be abolished. You constantly get bad games, and it's very hard. I mean, you get guys on Thursday that are just starting to walk from last week, and people don't realize those extra 2 or 3 days, what that does in recovery and making guys available.
Not only physically making them available, but I remember my first Thanksgiving game, we literally took the exact same game plan from the week before, and we just changed the cover on the binder and said, it's Patriots week now. It's like, well, what do you mean? Like, this is exactly what we did last week. Like, there's no game planning for it. There's no, like, nope, just doing the exact same thing we did. That is so dumb. Yeah. So, damn. There you go.
Now, see, there's a betting angle. If I get that inside info, I'm betting against you.
Well, again, it's when you condense things, people, like, the NFL and college, everything is very routine, and when you eliminate a day, it's hard enough. You start taking away two and three, and there's only so much. I mean, there just isn't enough time to do install and kind of get things ready like that, especially if you're playing a superior opponent like the damn Detroit Lions, whose offense at this point is unstoppable.
Okay. Oregon, Washington, they're playing. I don't know if you knew that.
They are.
Let's talk about it coming up next. It is not Football Friday, nor is it story time. I don't know what it is.
It's very awkward.
But it's great to have Joey Harrington here on the day before Thanksgiving. More with Joey next on The Fan.
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy.
On 1080 The Fan.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Oregon taking on Washington. Saturday, we finally made it to Husky Week. It'll be here on The Fan, 4:30. I just counted up, I was looking back at the Ducks schedule, Joey, this is the seventh game that feels, and you may disagree with this, but it feels like this is the seventh time this year where we are discussing a game that really has very little juice and the Ducks should win by double digits and there really isn't a lot of doubt about that. Do you agree with that or is this different because it's the rival?
Yes. I have a hard, I just have a hard time admitting that, I think, is the biggest thing, especially after the last, don't say 3 years, but it's three games over the last 2 years. Like, there has been so much riding on this game over the last couple years. And Washington has been so significantly better than they were for the previous, two decades? Mm-hmm. That it's hard to just, like, flip a switch and be like, oh, well, the Huskies stink again. Right? Like, I don't know. And our recent body of work, 16-13 against Maryland and a, you know, what was it, 20-17 or a squeaker against Wisconsin. It's not like we're blowing people out like we were weeks 5, 6, and 7.
Well, first of all,
should it be a 3-touchdown win? Yeah, it should.
Well, Maryland was 39-18.
Yeah.
And then the Wisconsin was 16-13, but
Wisconsin was 16-13. Yeah. I knew that. I was just making sure you guys knew that.
Yeah, you were testing us. Yeah. And we were on it. You know, we were on it. Damn. We're sharp.
Yeah. Because you have those computers in front of you.
Well, that's true. But it's the right. I mean, I was talking to a big Duck fan who was like, man, this is such a huge game and you got to beat Washington. Lanning cannot be 0-4 against Washington. And I get that sentiment. But at the same time, I'm like, well, one, Washington's way down. New coach, different team. Two, you guys are undefeated. It doesn't even matter if you lose, really. You go into the Big Ten title game, you know, everything's right in front of you, and it's a bigger prize. So it kind of takes a little shine away from this matchup.
Yeah. I just don't want to admit to that.
Well, you don't have to.
You want to hold on to the Husky hate?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just feels like it's been a rebuild, right? For, like I said, for the better part of two decades, the Huskies were just like, you know, all right, it's fine. Ironically, you know, during that stretch, the Beavers were probably more often a better game. Yeah. And now it's like built back into something that, you know, God, they've got us the last three times, and now you just want to punch them in the face. And it's like, oh, man, like you're not even punching the same people in the face. Like, it's, you know, Kalen DeBoer, you can't punch him in the face, and you can't punch Michael Penix or any of the 22 starters from last year. Like, it's just like, all right.
It's funny. Go ahead.
Have you seen, I was going to say, you said Husky hate. Have you, you know who has held on to Husky hate?
Yeah, Puddles.
No, it's not Puddles. It's the duck.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Not yeah, just yeah, the duck. Yeah. I saw your tweet. I mean, yeah, I saw this.
Oh, it is my favorite week of the entire year is the duck on Twitter. And it is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And by the end of the week, he's just going to start just popping them out like every 5 minutes. It is comedy all week long. And I love it.
Yeah, so what he's talking about is the duck is on Twitter.
And he's going at Harry the Husky.
Yeah, he does it every year.
Yeah.
He goes right at Harry the Husky. Yeah. Now, the one that I saw that you were quote tweeting says, and this is the duck writing to Harry the Husky on Twitter. He says, Harry the Husky. Harry the Husky only wears jerseys because he still hopes one day coach will say, you know what, Harry, you're in. And he'll be called in from the sideline without ever practicing with the team and score a touchdown. Like, bro, what do you think this is? Air Bud Golden Receiver? Do less. And you quote tweeted that with what?
Well, it's so out of character from all of his other,
I know.
Because they're all so simple. Like, it just starts like, Harry the Husky smells his own farts. Harry the Husky claps, you know, when it goes through TSA pre-check. Harry the Husky tells people about his Wordle streak. Harry the Husky isn't brat. Like, and they're just some of the most, like, the trendy, like, it's just perfect for what the duck is. And then he throws out, like, a freaking, you know, a sonnet out there, like a giant essay paper. I was like, this is a little bit off brand here.
It's almost
like
someone else took control of the account for like 5 minutes, and then the other guy came and said, "Nah, that's not good."
Some of them, Harry the Husky listens to Talk Tua. Harry the Husky puts eyelashes on his car's headlights. Harry the Husky offers warm pocket candy. He offers warm pocket candy to strangers. I enjoy this one. He orders chicken fingers at Italian restaurants. I love that. Harry the Husky claps at TSA pre-check. Can't tell the difference between Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth. Still brags about his Wordle streak.
Confuses Bluey and Paw Patrol.
Yeah, Paw Patrol. Harry the Husky doesn't RSVP, but shows up anyways. Yeah, he does. He has nice ones. Thinks Mudang is a brand of chocolate milk. But you're right. They're all just nice little one-liners, and then we get to go on the great bit. It is well. I'm glad that the duck is keeping it alive, because I've got a friend who's diehard Husky. He went there. Kid went there. Wife went there. And I've got a diehard duck fan. And I've talked to both of them, and like neither one of them really cares. Like both sides have kind of done they've just like capitulated. They're like, hey, well, you know.
Is that just because Oregon's so good this year?
I think Washington knows what's coming, and I think Oregon doesn't, as Joey said, it's not, this isn't the revenge. It doesn't feel, if DeBoer was still here, I think this would feel different. But now you're just beating up on Jed Fish, and Jed Fish didn't wrong you. He hasn't done anything to piss you off yet. So it's not even the right revenge. And so it just kind of ends up being a weird thing.
But I think that speaks more to what is happening in college football, right? The reason you don't have all 22 starters, yeah, sure, you lost a few to the draft, but the majority of them transferred somewhere else, right? Your coach just picked up and left to go somewhere else. Like, it's just, we're not even in the same conference, you know, in the Pac-12 anymore. Like, there's just all these weird things going on with college football that it's just like, we're all trying to figure this whole thing out.
Yeah, you know, Jabbar Muhammad played for the Huskies last year.
That's right. One of the Huskies is on our team. Like, that's just weird.
Right? I mean, Dylan Gabriel was playing in the Red River Rivalry last year, and now he's in this, and it's just, I'm with you. I the new brand of college football, it's great. The playoff is great. The regular season's been great, but this game...
Well, it's hurting rivalries.
There's no doubt about that.
What is, outside of Kenny Wheaton, what is another big, awesome Joey Harrington Duck Husky moment that you... that's one of your favorites? Not, doesn't have to include you. I just mean one of your favorite moments from Ducks Huskies.
Oh, Jonathan Stewart in Seattle. Jonathan Stewart, I mean, dude ran for like 720 yards in and 17 touchdowns in Seattle. A guy from Washington, Oregon, going up into Husky Stadium and absolutely just like running down their throat. That's one that I remember. I think that's a pretty good one. I like that one.
It's a good poll. I'm trying to look at what year.
There, There's also, I mean, I only played the Huskies one time, and that was when they were number six in the country and came into Autzen. And I had a pretty marvelous day of about 172 yards passing and maybe a touchdown. But when you have Mo Morris behind you and a defense that played out of their minds, we knocked them off. So, I don't have a whole lot of great memories, like personal memories, but that Jonathan Stewart game was great. It really was.
It's such a weird rivalry too, because growing up in the area, dude, Oregon was nothing. Washington just kicked the hell out of them, and then it got flipped in the 90s, and then you guys went on that run where it was like a 20 year run where, what was it? How many did you win? Like 17 out of 28. What was it?
The 20 years. The 20 years prior. The 20 years prior to the pick.
Yeah.
Washington was 17-3 against Oregon.
Yeah.
In the 20 years after the pick, Oregon was 16-4 against Washington.
Yeah.
It is two completely lopsided 20-year stretches. And I've never seen anything like that in a rivalry before.
No, and it was so strange because, last year and last 2 years, right, Washington gets them, and Washington goes and plays for a national title, and it was so short-lived. And we don't know, maybe Jed Fish will rise again, but going into the new conference, maybe there was an idea. If I told you that, hey, they're joining the Big Ten and one team had beaten the other three times in a row and had played for a national title, you kind of thought that maybe this would be Washington being here, but I mean, we got Oregon, the only undefeated team left in the country, and Washington 6-5 and is going to the Sun Bowl or whatever. It's just, it's odd how quickly things changed. That one program, and I guess Oregon didn't really rise up. It's just been a steady climb, whereas Washington kind of had a blip on the radar and now is kind of fallen back into somewhat obscurity. But things can change in college football.
Huskies have had a pretty wild ride, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. Yes.
From all the way back in the 90s where they were awesome.
Yes.
And then just the doldrums.
Mm-hmm.
And then
0-12 or 0-11.
Yeah.
And then back up to almost winning it all and playing Michigan. By the way, that game, Saturday, October 20, 2007, Oregon beat Washington 55-34. Now, this is back when the rivalry game was not at the end of the year. It was middle of the season, obviously, yeah. October 20.
And that's the one. It's weird that it's at the end of the year now.
Jonathan Stewart, 32 rushes, 251 yards, ooh, and two titties. Yeah. And then Andre Crenshaw also had 100. My God. Andre Crenshaw had 113 yards rushing, and Dennis Dixon rushed for 99 yards in that game.
No, they ran 500 yards rushing on him.
Yes.
We literally ran the ball down the throat that day.
All right.
Yeah.
What time you start
and
drinking?
And their mascot sucks, so there you go.
Yeah, and I was looking at Harry the Husky's Twitter. He doesn't clap back at all. He's just...
It's just he is a dog, so...
The duck's great. Yeah. The duck's... He does a good job. Okay, what time do we start drinking tomorrow? What time does Joey crack the first one? Probably an old fashy.
No. Depending on, Emily and her sister and some friends usually run the turkey trot, and so then we'll come back here for a little brunch kind of thing. So, it used to be when, you come back for brunch, turn the Lions on, and then depending on how emotional I was feeling or about watching the Lions play, whether it was I hate those guys, then it would start earlier than it did. Mm. Or earlier than it normally would have. Mm-hmm. But, it's kind of a play-it-by-ear thing, depending on how much PTSD I'm getting from watching the Lions play on Thanksgiving.
Why don't you turkey trot?
I can't, because I can't trot, let alone turkey trot.
What about you trot?
What about a shuffle? What about a turkey waddle?
I'm on my third knee surgery in 3.5 years. I'm still trying to just make this thing work, all right? You know what it's like, so just back off, all right?
I can assure you every year I plan on running a marathon and then, or Hood to Coast, and then, there's extenuating circumstances. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm planning. I'm planning. It's,
look. Yeah. I'm just trying to carry my own golf bag again. All right, if I can just walk and carry my own golf bag, it'll be a big victory. So
that's what push carts are for. I love my Click Gear. Things great.
So, if you decide to drink, let's say you are getting the PTSD from the line, what are you cracking? Like, what does the day go? How does your drinking day go?
Yeah. Well, you can't start with an old, you know, like a 10:30 old fashioned.
So it's like a mimosa.
Mimosa.
Yeah. You'd probably have to start in that realm and then probably go to a midday old fashioned. And then, but then for like dinner, like,
wine.
You know, you have to start working into the Oregon Pinots and John Elliott and I have kind of been trading back and forth a little bit, like, you know, so he sent me some French stuff and I sent him some Oregon stuff, and so I'm gonna, you know, open up one of those at dinner time, and then maybe you circle back to the old fashioned at the end of the night, and then, you know, maybe or maybe not wake up the next morning feeling, you know, like you should go Christmas tree chopping.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a good little.
You cut down the tree. You still do the old school.
Good little plan.
We usually go on Saturday of Thanksgiving week to go cut the tree down. Oh yeah.
I used to do that with the little kids, and we don't anymore because the kids are all old and gone and stuff. But I do miss that. That was one holiday tradition that, like, you know, being the dad, I always appreciated. And then when the kids got old enough and they were able to cut the tree, and I always enjoyed that. That was one of those like a proud father moment.
There you go. Yeah, that's. That's a good Thanksgiving weekend right there.
Do you judge us fake tree people?
Do I judge you?
Mm-hmm.
That's yes. No, because you're from Kansas, right? So there's...
What does that mean?
There's no trees.
Well, because if you're from the Pacific Northwest...
We have trees.
And yeah, but not real Christmas trees. I'm sorry. The only real Christmas trees in this country come from the Pacific Northwest and from North Carolina. That's it. Look, it's science, okay? It's science. So if you're from North Carolina or you're from the Pacific Northwest and then voluntarily choose. So how about this? My first year in Detroit, I came back I came back every Thanksgiving, most Thanksgivings. But we did our Christmas tree chopping on that weekend before I flew back. I was like, man, I can't get a tree out there to save my life. And so I actually cut one down and then I bound it up and then shipped it back to Detroit.
Did you really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Had an Oregon noble fir for my Christmas tree back in Detroit.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool. By the way, that's some power quarterback move right there. I'm not shipping trees.
What'd that cost you?
I'm not really sure. It was a little more than I expected, but not outrageous. And actually, that was my second year, because the first year I realized I couldn't get any decent Christmas trees in Detroit, and they were too expensive. So, you know.
Right. Well, enjoy your Thanksgiving.
I will.
Yeah.
I will. You enjoy yours, and let me know how that Lions bet goes.
Yeah, I'm not betting it. I was looking for an angle, but I'll just drink. I'm going to start early.
Yeah.
I don't need to bet. Have a great one. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
See you guys.
Yeah. Joey Harrington.
That is kind of how that is my drinking day, but you mixed in I switch over to Coors.
Mm-hmm.
So I always
Coors
start.
Light, or Banquet.
Banquet. I go.
Well, can we just since we're way over, let's talk about this. Yeah. This is something that needs to be discussed,
because I have a kind of set routine.
Yeah, I think I know exactly. Yeah. In my head, I have a game plan tomorrow. There's a play. The playbook is large, but I shrink it down for Thanksgiving, and I generally know what I'm doing. I'm prepared.
You got to be ready to audible, though. I mean, stuff happens.
No question.
Red panties. Red panties.
As a matter of fact, I have an audible in about an hour.
Oh, I love it.
So we'll talk Turkey Day next in the club. Joey's appearance is here on The Fan, brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. We'll be right back on The Fan.